Hey, welcome to the spot where we're not here to talk at you. We're here to talk with you. So let me holler at you.
All right. Welcome to Let Me Holler At You. I am one of your hosts, Miss Ty Wonder, with me. Let me go ahead and give y'all this disclaimer now. We got some sexy voices on here today, accompanied by a very special guest and our regular host, Mr. Booker Snow. How you doing today, Book?
What up, though?
Hey, what it do? Yes. You see me over here struggling with this mic. I'm like, damn it, now I can't see everybody.
I was doing the same thing. I was trying to
figure
out how to
do this 10 minutes ago.
See, I got to lean to the side of the wrong with his neck. Falls. Nothing.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Anyway, what up, though? What it do? It feels good to be back. So I don't know if this episode is going to be first, but it's our first time recording since our last episode. So
yeah.
It's been a minute. It's good to see your face.
Same. Miss you.
Miss you too.
Family. Yeah.
For real.
I even sent you a text one day like, yo, I miss my sister.
I know.
He was like, yo.
I was like, aw. Insert pouty face.
Yeah.
Then my kid was excited. She's like, Booker! I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's dope though. But with us, we got a very special guest, Mr. KB, the producer is in the building. How you doing today?
Hello.
All right. Uh-oh. See, there's a little hint of a Caribbean accent there. Where you from?
I am from the country Trinidad and Tobago.
See how you said Tobago? Say it again.
Tobago.
You got me beat.
No, I don't. I do not. Tell him. Tell him what I said. If you combine these two together, like his voice and my voice, mm-hmm. Trouble.
It would be so much trouble.
Best
trouble.
R&B album
what?
Ever.
Listen.
We wouldn't even have to sing.
It'd be straight intros.
Just talking. Like, they talk to that rhythm so much.
Y'all heard that new album? They just talking to the rhythm.
They just talking.
And we could just name it Panties.
Yeah.
It'd be all bad. Good all at once.
Good and terrible.
Yeah. That's funny.
As they said in what movie was that? Yeah, good and terrible.
Coming to America.
There we go. I could see it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't recall
good
it.
And terrible.
Good and terrible. I was so disappointed with that remake.
You know what? I haven't watched it.
Really?
Can't do it.
They themselves said they didn't want to make a remake to that. Mm. So I don't know what possessed them to do it. Unless somebody gave them a real good bag for that.
They did.
You know?
Eddie Murphy, I think he got like $33 million or something like that.
Wow.
That would be a good bag.
Yeah,
because he got a lot of kids.
Boy, look.
How many kids did Eddie Murphy have?
Like
double digits,
eight,
right?
10, 12?
I think it's a lot
of them. And he's got like grown children and babies.
Yeah.
I know that. Because I remember there was a picture with him and all the kids on the staircase. I was like, good God.
It's deep.
Whew.
It was like Wu-Tang. Madness.
That's a lie.
He trying to create all 36 chambers.
I see.
It was all the members and affiliates.
Yeah, I was disappointed with it though. Don't watch it then.
I can't do it.
I watched it just to support. That's all.
I did too. Because, you know, if we don't get our numbers for our stuff, they're like, see, we told you the black number don't count.
So. You know, as a film writer, though, it's hard to, because I'll sit there and I'll be breaking everything down instead of just being entertained, you know what I mean? And that's not
that's
fair.
That's my struggle that's with watching
fair.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's not fair. I definitely don't want to talk negative about it. If I haven't seen it, I can't say nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be that guy. Plus, I know what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to be that guy.
It had some good moments, but... I haven't watched it again. Matter of fact, I don't even think I watched it in one sitting.
Nah, but I did watch The Golden Child not too long ago.
Nope, I watched it.
Yeah, you haven't watched The Golden Child?
Mm-mm.
Wait, you have something against The Golden Child?
No, I just haven't watched it.
Okay.
You know, I got 82 jobs. I don't...
Point taken.
You know, unless somebody say, hey, sit down, we watching this? I usually don't get
you
to
were
watch
deprived
it.
Of a childhood, clearly. Because I don't understand how... You didn't see The Golden Child.
You know, so...
You see her card over there somewhere, fam? Until she... Her black card, until she see the movie.
You know what I'm saying?
That's gonna take have to this be revoked. Take this for
you
right
know
now.
What?
We're gonna take your perfume until you see the golden child. You have been deprived of your wonderful organic scents over here.
Not the organic scents.
Yeah, your man attractor over here. You've been. Been revoked of your sense.
I mean, I really didn't have much of a childhood because I was a born entertainer. Like, I was playing instruments at five, and that's all I cared about. So,
yeah,
I ain't play outside. Hey,
look, you see how he get the knife, it'll help you with your music.
Right.
Good. Mm. You need to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I might have to put it. Is it on Netflix? Where is it at?
It's on one of them.
Probably, if anything, it's probably on Prime.
Yeah, I think that's what I watched it on. I think that's what I watched it on.
Well, I got Prime.
Yeah, because I love Eddie Murphy movies.
I watch it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, and then we'll get into this interview, though.
Yeah.
Trying to find something to watch last night. Why me and my child was watching Weekend at Bernie's. You remember that?
That's my flick. What? That's my flick. Good. Hey, that's a good parenting. That's good parenting.
You.
She's old enough to definitely watch it and understand it.
She
like, that's
like,
good parenting.
Now, there were two parts she didn't understand when they were playing footsie. And she's like, what is she doing with the foot? I was like, I don't know. And then when she came out, you know, she had slept with Bernie. And she's like, why is she so happy? I was like, I don't know.
Yo. See, hey, that's when all the Detroiters, they go, hey, why is she playing footsie? That's when you put on some Dale Sofa Moaning. I'll send the song to you.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know.
Baby. I had to tell you the Howard the Duck story one day.
Howard the Duck.
Yo.
Because I saw that on, when I came to this country, I saw it on TV, like TNT or something like that, right? So then when my daughter turned like around 10, I mean, all these years we had been doing like dinner and a movie, right, on Fridays. So we would, you know, course get dinner, we'll sit down or go to the movie theater and watch a movie. So one time, you know, by this time Netflix was, you know, doing the streaming thing heavy. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled upon Howard the Duck. So I was like, oh, we're gonna watch this tonight, baby. This is gonna be good. It's a classic, right? I put that thing on. First thing I see is the duck going through his wallet and there's a condom in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
what?
I was like, that's odd.
The duck has a condom?
I don't remember that part in the movie. So then I was like, okay. Literally like 4 or 5 minutes later, when he getting pulled through the walls and stuff, getting sent to the other dimension, he busts to a bathroom and it's duck titties in the tub.
What?
I was like, okay, what is
what?
I was like, there's no way we're gonna watch the rest of this movie now. There's no way. After you done seen some duck titties in a tub? Nah, I can't do that. I can't do that to my child.
That
not my child.
Experience
life. Yeah, that messed me up. Listen, and my daughter laughing as I'm sitting there stupefied on the couch. You know that meme where the person's thinking and you see all the calculations floating around? That was me. Because I'm like, I don't understand how I miss all of these things as a child. Because I would remember this. I would remember duck titties.
Did
and
you
duck
watch
condoms.
It on regular
but
TV?
No,
I watched it on regular
That's
TV.
Yep.
I had no idea. So when I did the research, it was like, it was rated. And it's crazy because back then, a PG-13 movie.
Adult movie.
Right.
Mm.
You will see stuff like that.
Right, that's true.
It wasn't even rated R until, like, stuff like that wouldn't be rated R until way later.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, so she was getting a good laugh out of that. Like, oh, daddy, look, you didn't even know that was in there. And I was like, hush him out. I can't believe I am so disappointed. But, yeah, that's
not the daddy disappointment.
That was like Naked Gun when I watched that as an adult, because my mom and I used to watch that as a kid, and I watched it as an adult. I remember sitting down and watching it with my ex-husband. He's like, you watched this as a kid? Remember that movie?
Them jokes hit different, don't you?
And I was like,
I watched all of them. 33 and a third, all of them. All of them.
That's next on my list, but I can't watch that one with
Tally.
I ain't
like,
ready. Mm. I know.
I'll judge OJ.
Mm-hmm. Every time I hear OJ, I think about the barbershop. OJ did it.
OJ did it.
Every time.
Yeah, we did our normal. We went way left. We were not supposed to be sitting here talking about black movies as it is.
That fits us, though.
Yes.
So moving on.
So random.
It was random. These are really what our conversations are like, though. We'll call each other for one thing, and then we done pivot shift 87 times. And now we talking about, I don't know, shoe paint or some random stuff.
It'd be so random. So random. Stuff that like siblings don't even talk about. Right.
Or the price of pizza or something.
Oh, it'd be like so bad, fam. We don't even talk about the price. We'll talk about like how much it costs to ship the pepperoni to the, you know. Like, you know they get their pepperoni from, oh, did they? How much is the shipping cost? You know, like, why do that matter? Do right. It taste good? Like, we don't even eat pepperoni. Like, you don't even know if do you eat pepperoni still?
Yeah.
See, I don't even sometimes. Eat. I'm a vegan. I don't eat pepperoni.
We'll start talking about it, though.
Hey,
we did that the other day because we was on the phone for like 2 hours, and I swear we called each other about one thing, and it was like, I don't remember what we was even talking about. I don't remember what we called each other about. Well, we called each other about business, but I don't remember.
Yeah, we went from business to just talking like mad
random
shit,
stuff.
And it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. It works out.
So, sorry, you're coming into our world with randomness. KB, so tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
So as I stated, I'm from the island of Trinidad and Tobago. Came up here in the early 90s, actually 1990. lived in New Jersey for about 20-something years, and then came down to Charlotte 2015. My background has been in audio-video production. I want to say I've been kind of involved with that since 2006, starting out in a partnership where we did kind of like installations for venues, operate the boards at live events, like churches, concerts, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That was a fun time. The Keith Sweat concerts and the Bell Biv DeVoe concerts and stuff like that.
See, we could do an album called Panties. We got training. We good. Yo, if you do the audio, I could be, look at girl. I'm going to throw them draws on stage. Like, yo.
There's plenty of that too, yeah. It's crazy.
I'm sure.
To this day.
I'm sure. See,
there's plenty of that.
I am sure.
So from there, went to school to kind of hone my craft. Ended up working in some New York recording studios, Quad to be the more popular one. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, that's the studio that Tupac was shot in the elevator. They still talk about that to this day.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I started kind of getting into the video thing as well. Had my own podcast going on right now, Uncovered Podcast, highlighting independent artists, underground artists, and most recently, like small business entrepreneurs, particularly in the Black community, because you know we need that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I also have my own podcast, media production studio called Pods 2. So, you know, trying to make things happen, trying to be like you.
Trying to be like who?
the award winning Ty Wonder.
I have to say, you know what's up. We are trying to, you know what I'm saying? If we got to step up, hey, look, you a good line.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm so honored.
Talk that talk, fam.
I'm
bro.
Sorry, we haven't said that on this on the show. So I have two other podcasts. One is award nominated, the Tea Talk with Ty Show, nominated for Best Health and Wellness and Best Business Podcast, and then the Lies and Garbage Show is the award winning Best Black Sex Podcast. Okay, I'm sorry. Shameless plug.
Booyaka.
And all under my production company, Tai Chi Productions. Mm-hmm. Okay, see, I'm getting better. Look, I actually
did. Wait, what was that last noise again? Okay. Just in case they hear.
Awesome, okay. All right, Uncovered Podcast and Posture. So now we have to ask you. Now, I know some people aren't comfortable with revealing their age, but just assuming that you're over 30... If you want to tell your age or not.
I'm going to be 43 this month.
Come on, Taurus season.
You know what I'm saying? Taurus gang.
All right. Dang it. Hold on.
What's that?
Oh, wait. No, that was the wrong one.
love would be so pissed at you right now for your timing.
And I would be so disappointed. Oops. Oops. Well, I'm going to just hit this one because it's appropriate. No.
What?
You don't
Wait
know.
A minute.
That's appropriate?
What's going on with your buttons?
It's not. So I clearly have my board mislabeled.
Did you just homicide?
No, I have my board mislabeled.
What the hell was that? It's not like Jason Voorhees.
So it was supposed to be laughter.
All the black in me almost ran out this room.
It was totally supposed to be laughter. I got my board mislabeled. See, this is what happens when you, like, you can have multiple banks. And I just got into multiple banks. And it's too much, clearly. So don't judge my life, KB, the producer.
So fortunate there's no judgment zone, I swear.
Oh, man. So you said you'd be 43. So let me see. How do I want to phrase this question? How has the dating scene been for you over 30?
It had been rough. Very rough. So when I came down here, like a year and a half had passed, and all I was really doing was working and going home. Mm-hmm. Which was pretty much what I was doing in New Jersey. So I was like, okay, two things I need to do. I need to build a connection of people, because mm-hmm. that's always important, and then see where the honey's at.
Where they at, though?
But I know even from my time in New Jersey, when you get to a certain age, you ain't finding, you know, the mature women in the same spots anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of off doing their own thing. They scattered about. They scattered in the winds, you know. You had to catch them at certain venues, like R&B concerts or something like that. Mm. So my first attempt at dating, I used this app that shall not be named. but it is notoriously black. And I was having conversations here and there, but there was one woman in particular that the conversation seemed okay, so I set up a date. Uh-huh. The first date was kind of awkward. The second one, she showed up late, like real late, like 45 minutes late.
Damn. Oh, that's disrespectful.
That's next day.
Yeah.
Right?
And see, the thing was, but I was already there, and I was hungry. So I was like, I'm going to eat, you know?
That's real man stuff. You know
what I mean? Starting the whole date off wrong.
That's real man stuff, though. You're like, I'm eating.
Because then when she popped up and she looked at the menu, she was like, are you going to order anything? I was like, oh, I already ate. Looked her dead in the eye when I said it, too. I already ate.
Wait, did you have a drink?
Yeah, had a drink and everything. I was chilling.
But you still chilling with the drink?
Chilling with the drink.
Gangster.
Because my thing is this, right? If one thing that infuriates me to mm-hmm. no end is if I sit there and we make an arrangement, mm-hmm. we agreed on a time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like this was a week ago that we planned mm-hmm. this. It was literally the day before.
Oh, wow.
And you hit me with the, oh, I forgot about the date. Okay.
What?
And then you show up 40 minutes later.
Nah, I'm ghost.
Yeah. After that, it was like...
She's lucky you're still there.
Well, it's funny because... So after that, she... I don't even remember if she apologized or not, but she wanted to see if we could kind of get up again before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I hit her up like, hey, let's go such and such place, whatever. Mm-hmm. And no response. So I sent another message, no response. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was done anyway, so fine. 1 year later.
What?
She texts me out the blue. Talking about, hey, stranger.
Uh-uh.
I was like, yo, people really do this? People really do that?
You see my what? Eyes. I'm like, the hell?
People what? Really do that. Hey, stranger.
That's when you hit the doo-doo-doo-doo. She
would, then immediately.
Yo. That's some scary shit.
1 year later?
And then immediately follows that up with, I haven't heard from you in a while. As if it's my fault that a year has passed.
This was in Jersey.
This was down here.
This
was,
oh, okay. Hey, sorry, y'all. My, hey, look. I,
that was down here.
Nope. Yep. Yeah, that's believable. Jersey, I was about to be like, what city? Yo, usually Jersey people don't, you know.
Yeah.
They let you know they ain't coming.
Like, yeah, if it's one thing I'm going to give Jersey people, Jersey women credit for, they're going to let you know.
Yeah, I ain't coming to that job.
Right. Right. I ain't rocking with you.
Nope.
Well, damn.
Deuces in the cabooses. Okay. But this one, it was like.
1 year later.
A whole year later, yeah.
Wow. She's I would have like, been like, who is this?
But the funny thing was, because that's something I have to really be mindful of doing, is like removing old contacts. Mm-hmm. So when the text came up and I saw the name, I knew who it was right away, because usually I put a little note underneath in the contacts to let me know who this is, like when I met them or whatever, right?
Right.
So I was like flabbergasted. I was like, a whole year, and then you gonna sit there and make it look like I'm the reason why we hadn't talked in a year? Them type of women are toxic. All right? Toxic Avenger, toxic waste, okay?
Toxic Crusader.
Right.
All of that.
So what that sounded like is she was, you know, she was dating you and somebody else, too.
She was playing the field.
Right. And then it worked out, and then it didn't work out no more. So it was like, ooh.
She was playing the field.
The crazy thing is, I don't, you know what? I don't even mind that if you're honest.
If you,
yeah.
And that's my thing.
Yeah.
Let me know what the deal is.
Keep
it a buck. And not for nothing. I mean, that type of behavior of not keeping it a buck does happen few and far between in New Jersey. But, I mean, everywhere, really.
That's everywhere, yeah.
But it's like, you will move through life a whole lot easier if you just honest right out the gate.
Right.
You save yourself a lot of headache. You save the other person a lot of headache. And you save yourself a lot of headache.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what I'm all about.
Mm. Like that.
Mm. You got any other wild dating stories?
Yeah.
Before, well, I don't, I mean.
I love the hesitant laugh. Right.
Right, with a blank face like, yeah.
What you mean?
You know, we don't want to go too deep in your personal life to ask you if you're single, but what are some of your craziest, memorable dating stories you have? Dating after 30, or and even being because you were a single dad at some point, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us your stories. We're listening.
So okay, so my experience as a single dad, it really starts back in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I came up in what I would consider the no scrubs era. Right, and for those who
yeah, Book had the delayed head back laugh that was so funny out of the corner of my eye, like he's almost on the floor laughing at that one.
I'm sorry, Amy. Oh, yeah,
so I take that as Booker understanding what
yes,
that
sir.
Era is, right?
Yes,
so the no scrubs.
I think y'all are about the same age, aren't you?
Probably.
So the no scrubs era is essentially, as I describe it, is essentially an era where a single woman or even a woman with a child would not entertain any man who has a child, because that child means he has a baby mother.
Really?
They would, yep. They would not deal with a guy who don't drive a certain type of car, wear certain type of clothes, make certain type of money. So, not to say that I didn't have dates. I had dates with very genuine women. And those dates were few and far between, because a lot of the women that I came across, even some of my female friends, was on that scene. Mm. You know, like, no, he need to be making this amount and da 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 da. And I'm like, but you broke. Like, how you.
I love it.
How you broke, but you telling this man he need to come with all of this, right. All of this stuff to even date you.
Right, you barely got two nickels, but you asking for a dude that makes six figures. Like,
yeah,
make it make sense.
Yeah, but and I feel like that realization had made a lot of good men bitter. Because the good ones, you know, they get this, they get tossed to the side or whatever, because they ain't have that. But then when they do have it, it's like, oh no, but I remember you, or I remember somebody like you.
Yeah,
and no, I'm not entertaining you. You know. And a lot of people don't really think about that. I mean, me personally, I can't paint everybody with the same brush. That's why I haven't thought like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I could have easily went that route. You know what I mean? But, you know, I had an understanding that this is not everybody. And I've had proof of that since then. I've met and dated. I've had As far as serious relationship goes, mm-hmm. I've had maybe six that I can remember, like, real quick.
Mm-hmm. It's a good number.
Yeah. The longest one would be my child's mother. That one was 4 years. Mm-hmm. The second longest would be 2 years.
So you were in relationships.
I am relationship guy. I was always that since my teenage years. Like, I was like, I want to be married. I want to have 2 to 3 kids. The white picket fence, the whole nine. That was me. I was never like all my boys was dogs. All of my boys, right?
DMX style.
Barking all day, you know what I'm saying? But I just couldn't move like that for whatever reason. Like, it just wasn't in me to move like that. I don't know if it's because I have so many females in my family, or if it's just in me to just treat people a certain way that I would want to be treated. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Nice. That kind of put me in that mind frame of, you know, like, I ain't really trying to be out here breaking people's hearts. I ain't trying to have that kind of reputation, that kind of thing. So,
man, I commend you on that, brother, because, like, real talk, it's almost like the area you're talking about, and even now, really, like, that's almost like a badge of achievement or accomplishment now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can, oh, man, I had her, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, to be a dude that's like, you know, I didn't come in with any intention on hurting you. Mm-hmm. The goal was actually to, you know, possibly get to this point.
Yeah.
And even if we didn't, you know, let's still amicably, you know, go different ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
But like I said, a lot of people don't respect the honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember going back to dating stories, I specifically told this woman, let me know what it is. Uh-huh. This is my intentions, right? I'm intending to date you to find out if this is something that could become serious, because that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But if this is just something where you just want to mess around a little bit, I could do that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could do that too, right. But at least let me know what it is, because trust and believe, I'm going to go on regular dates with other women, and I'm going to find out if this woman is like really serious and wants to do relationships, I'm going to turn to you and say, hey, this can't happen anymore.
Right.
It was fun, but this can't happen anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sure enough, she gave me the nod, like, yeah, I understand. And 3 weeks later, ghost town.
Damn.
Ghost town. Only to run into her again 3 months later. I was like,
you know what?
And then she hit me with the same thing. It's hey, stranger. Come on, man. I just seen you walk out the damn building with the next guy and your son all hand in hand like a family. And then you walk back in the building and then walk in the air that I'm standing in and go, oh, hey, woman, why y'all do that?
Yeah,
nah. I don't do
and that. Not all women, but the women that do that, you know who you are.
Mm.
Like, don't play them games. Just keep it real, yo. You save yourself and the other person a lot of headache.
Mm. That's true. Wild. It is. The hey, big head. That reminds me of did I talk about that before? How I had the guy that every so often he goes, hey.
I
didn't.
I don't recall that. No.
There was a guy, matter of fact, we had this conversation. There was a guy that I was talking to around the time we filmed Untouchable. And when we start filming, he got upset because he's like, oh, now you ain't got time for me when all you wanted was time before. And I was like, first of all, I'm working. Second of all, I'm just getting to know you. Like, chill the hell out.
Chill.
So, like, everything fizzled out. But then I swear to God, every 3 months I'll get a text message, hey. What do you want? See, like, hey, and I just stopped responding.
I don't get that from no shorties.
I stopped responding.
My phone's quiet. So,
really?
Yeah, my DMs, everything. It's been pitch quiet, and I love it. Love it.
Okay.
I don't have a loud life at all. Mm. You know, I love it.
What about you? Do you have a quiet life? Your DMs popping?
My DMs have never popped.
Really?
Never. Never in life. And it's funny that you mentioned, like, I know at least 2 female friends that have a guy that does that, like, to this day, for years. Word. Like, hey, what's up? What's going on? You know, like, just checking to see if she's single and available. Like, real talk.
Yeah, definitely have a few of those.
I do have a few homegirls, though, that dudes that do that.
Yeah, I don't know any guys that happened to, but I definitely know some females that happened to.
I can relate to that one.
But, yeah, I have never, ever, 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 ever in life had a situation where my DMs was blowing up because women was trying to knock down the door to get me. Nope.
Really?
Do you let women know off jump that you're a dad?
Yeah, absolutely. I would never hide that. Are you kidding me? Because I feel like me hiding that would be like I'm ashamed of the fact that I have a child. Granted, I didn't plan on having a child so early in the game. My plan was to get married and then have the kids. Get married, get stable, have the kids.
You know the formula, mean? Yeah.
But, you know, life be lifing, and it didn't work out that way. But at the same time, no. If you going to deal with me, you have to deal with this girl too, and you may even have to deal with her mother from time to time. Mm-hmm. I let that be known out front, because I ain't going to be made to be like no liar or nothing like that.
So to follow up with that, do you think that some of the women that you dated, do you find that that they were ready for the responsibility that comes with that? Because it's hard, because there's not a lot of dads that really have to go, well, look, I have my daughter, you know what I mean, or I have my son.
Right.
You know, they're usually with their mom, just to be totally honest. Percentage-wise, the children are usually with mom. Mm. So we have a little more wiggle room sometimes. Mm. Like, do you think that some of the women that you've engaged, that they've been ready for the responsibility that comes with dating basically a girl dad?
No. Okay. Because, again, this is the era of no scrubs. Ain't nobody was trying to deal with no guy with no child whatsoever. Word. Period. Word. It wasn't the thing. It wasn't the move. It wasn't the vibe.
Wow.
Most of the women that I dated already had a child.
Now, this is a question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that maybe that's because when someone tries to date you and you have a child, that they may become like a second responsibility? You know what I'm saying? Or like a, you know, because I mean, they can't have first because you have your child.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that you date don't have children. It right. takes another parent to understand that sometimes.
Absolutely.
It does take another parent to
you
understand.
You know, and I'm going to be totally transparent. I don't have that problem as much because my kids aren't with me. As a matter of fact, they're in a different state.
Right.
So I don't have that same dialogue. Don't get me wrong. If they call me from where they at, I'm out. I don't give a damn what's going on. I'm on a flight, right. bus, train, whatever. Plane, trains, and automobiles. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the thing is, it's like when you have that intimacy with your child, you know, you're looking up and it's like, good morning. You know, like what I'm saying? You got to go buy the cereal and stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different level of attention that comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys find that, you know, sometimes people may be intimidated maybe by the child?
You want me to go first? Or you want
to
go first?
Of course, ladies first.
Well, thank you. I think an insecure man would be intimidated by my entire situation, including my kid, because my kid, first of all, she is definitely her mother's child. I'm gonna just leave that there. And she like her mother, she always has a lot going on, so it's a lot to do. And we're very close because it's been her and I for so long. So I think in the past it may have, but then it also showed you know, who was not meant to be a permanent fixture for me.
Okay.
And for me, like I said, most of the women that I've been in a relationship with had children already. So there was a mutual understanding as far as time, availability, you know, how that was going to, what that dynamic was going to look like, you know. The one person that I did date that did not have a child, she was one of the people that said she would not date a man with a child.
But for
whatever reason, she gave me a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're still cool to this day, and we laugh about that sometimes, because it was a learning experience for her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not only dealing with somebody that had a kid already, but just the idea of parenthood altogether. Because I think, like, some women be kind of curious about what that is like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some actually are open to it. If they have, like, if the other person has a kid, and, I mean, the kid is older, like, not a baby, but older, they, you know, see that as an opportunity to see, okay, well, can I do this? You know what I mean? Because it's not like they've committed to that person just yet. They're still figuring each other out. So in the midst of figuring each other out, they also learning the child and learning how to deal with a child. You know? So I think some women might look at that as an opportunity to kind of learn whether or not what they say is true about, you know, dating a man with a kid. Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? You know?
Yeah.
At least they make the attempt to find out for themselves instead of just kind of going with the narrative of, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to know, because this was and might still be one of my biggest flaws. Mm. Do you think that sometimes the subject of your child, you may find yourself being overly sensitive if someone was to bring something up about your daughter, whether they're doing something right or wrong, or if you're, you know, giving them too much time, things of that nature? Do you find yourself being maybe a little extra, like, I don't want to say overprotective, because I don't know if that's possible.
Defensive, you mean?
Yeah, but you know, it's a bit more defensive, you know?
So I'm not that type of person. I understand that my child is special to me, right? But she ain't going to be special to everybody, right?
Yeah.
So, and I know that my child isn't perfect, so she's going to have flaws and stuff too. So if somebody brings something to me that is, you know, oh, you know, your child did this and that and the third, I'm going to say, okay, well, you know, let's talk about it. I'm going to do my little investigation. I'll try and figure out, you know, whether or not she did what they claim she did. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to believe either party in that case. I need to figure out what the real story is. But
right.
But also too, because I don't want to say I'm a strict parent.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I'm an old school parent in that I believe a child has to stay in a child's place.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because of, like, you know, creating boundaries, mm-hmm. and showing respect to your elders, but also too, man, this adult world ain't all what it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, for some reason, kids, especially teenagers, they feel like, yeah, once I'm 18, I can get out the house and do this and that and third and blah, 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 blah. And mm-hmm. I'm like, your parents lied to you. Somebody lied to you. Because
somebody definitely
because
lied
life to you. Don't, you know, you know, adulting is not an easy transition. It really isn't. And even at the age of 43, I still don't have everything figured out.
Mm.
So, you know, I do believe in, you know, allowing children to be children.
Mm-hmm.
And as they grow, give them what they can handle at that stage in their life. Because they always change and they always have a different level of understanding, whatever. But going back to your question, as far as, like I said, I am open and understanding that my child can make a mistake, mm-hmm. and if it's brought to my attention, you know, I'll handle it. But yeah, I don't feel the need to get defensive. I feel like people who get defensive over somebody saying that their child did something, are like the over the top parents, or even the parents that, like, they don't really do nothing for their child, but as soon as somebody says something about their child, they want to fight the world.
Yeah,
I hate that.
And you know what's crazy? I'm like you, but I don't think I'm as balanced as you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever reached that place. I think I've been like that since my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if they, like, they grown, and if they call me now, I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling up. Mm-hmm. Period. But it's like with my daughters, I think I might be a little smoother when it comes to them, because they're still children and they're impressionable, and their children do as they see, not as they're told. And I don't want to wild out too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I'm dad,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm not protective of them, they may not pick a suitor,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the future that's protective. You know, mm-hmm. they just pick somebody. Oh, he's cute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. you know, it's about way more than that, especially with raising young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't, you know, like your dad is.
Yeah.
Dope. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Thank
and
you.
He presents something to you that gives you some kind of template.
Right.
You know, and you're not looking for your dad or nothing.
Right.
I don't want my daughters coming home like, daddy's just like you. That's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, pass. That's mad.
Right.
But at the same time, I told my sister one time, bring somebody home that I think may kick my ass.
Bring somebody home that I think might kick my ass.
Yeah. Wow. It ain't about height and size, none of that. But bring somebody home that I feel like if something was to approach you in a certain manner, mm-hmm. that this man has no question of whether to step in.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be violent,
mm-hmm.
but he still has to have the audacity, even
like
if it's
that.
Me. If I say something out of pocket, he should be able to be, hey, Book, can I holler at you, fam? What's up? Right. Come on, bro.
Okay, got you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To where I'd at least respect it. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting, you know, don't bring nobody home that's scared to talk to me or send me a text later. Like, I just wanted to tell you that wasn't cool, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Like, pull me to the side, like, fam. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm like that. I just, you know, I'm like, when I hear women like, we're the most unprotected, mm-hmm. I think it's a balance in that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to let us protect you, number one. Mm-hmm. And when the offer is there to protect you, you know, you look out. Let us do our thing. You know what I'm saying? Ain't, you know, or, you know, if we buck wild like that, it's a team effort. You know what I'm saying? I prefer not, but you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I would like for my daughters to at least be able to identify with certain things, like, you know. And it's like you were saying, like, I think you're more balanced than I am, though. You know?
So.
Yeah. Just even from your demeanor, just from meeting you, like, you're very observant. You know, I am too, but it's you have a little more patience.
Got to have a lot of patience. Yeah.
I don't know if that's
a good thing or bad thing with me sometimes. Seriously, I really don't know. I tolerate a lot of crap from a lot of people because I understand at the end of the day, people are going to be people.
Mm-hmm.
And every fight ain't worth fighting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But sometimes you have that individual or individuals that keep poking the bull. Keep poking it. And, you know, at that point, it's, you know, it's all downhill.
Whatever goes, homie. Yeah,
there was a little side point that I wanted to bring, going back to the kids real quick. So, you know, I'm also old school in that it takes a village, right?
Agreed.
And there was a time where, definitely in Trinidad, not so much up here, at least by the time I came here, where you could see a child doing something in the neighborhood and be like, hey, you can't be doing that. Get out of here. Da-da-da-da. And then later on, see their mom and their father and be like, hey, I seen so-and-so doing this, and then I told them to get out of here. Da-da-da-da. And they're like, oh, thank you. Da-da-da. I'm gonna fix them later.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, that got lost.
Mm.
I don't know how, and I don't know why. I've really racked my brain at a certain point in time to figure out where that got lost.
Mm-hmm.
But it really be aggravating to me where, you know, a kid get arrested for burning down somebody's house or shooting at somebody or, you know, whatever craziness these kids be doing these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother would jump on in front of a camera or on a microphone and say, not my baby. My baby's a good child and this and that and the third. But it's like, ma'am, you dusty, your child dusty. Right, they be out here in the neighborhood terrorizing the place. You know they're doing that, and you don't do nothing. You be in your house all day when you're not at work. You be in the house all day. You don't do nothing. Your yard is a mess. Wash your car. Wash your feet. Wash your kids' feet. Like, and now you up in here talking about, oh, not my child, not my baby. You don't know your baby.
You know what I'm saying? Wash your feet. Like, you wanted to bar to the body
though.
People.
That's
get
accurate,
you a washcloth
for me. You understand?
That's accurate, though, because I can remember, you know, I was a, what do they call it, latchkey kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because my mom, see, that's where I get it from. She used to work 82 jobs, too. And we had neighbors that if I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, like the one time I did go outside and play and I wasn't supposed to be outside and play. And they made sure my mama knew that I was outside playing and I wasn't supposed to. And I want to say I had neighbors that had permission to tap that if they had to. Yeah. But I don't know where that went. Now neighbors don't even want to talk to you.
Thanks.
Like,
yeah, that's a war.
It's like,
not
it's
only
weird.
That, not only that, it's going to be a problem and it's going to be on World Star.
And that's weird. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I guess it's between the old school and the Marine in me. I like to know who everybody is around me anyway, so that if I did see somebody's kid doing something that's going to, you know, put their life in danger or something that's just off, hey, you know, I saw your kid out here, you know, but.
You know what's wild? I had a neighbor, Donna, and her sons, Fred and Ricky, and those are my dudes. And they 90, and I have to stay with them because my mom was at work. You know, I go to school with them. Plus, we all went to the same school. It was dope. Like,
gotcha.
Great friendship. Donna would whoop my ass. And real talk, I'm not even to this day, I'm like, I've never been upset with her about it because mm-hmm. she's never gotten in my case about anything I didn't do. Because mm-hmm. like on front, I used to test the line here and there. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if she'll notice. And I'll do some slick shit. And she was one of the moms that, like, she'll see you off of the reflection on the radio that has chrome on the side or something. Like, I saw you, you know, right. And she'll peep it off the corner.
Old mother
like,
tricks, yeah.
Yeah, just ricochet, like mm-hmm. how you can see me off the computer screen mm-hmm. and shit. Yeah. She'll mm-hmm. see you like, I saw your head, but it'll be 30 feet away.
I've done that, actually. No, real talk. Like, I'll be in the kitchen or something, and I'll look at a reflection, like, in the microwave or something to see what my daughter doing.
Yeah.
Not that she
that too, though.
Yeah, not like that she was a problem child or anything like that. You know, just that's apparently parent thing that you do. You use your surroundings to kind of, mm-hmm. you know.
It's definitely a gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like it just comes natural once mm-hmm. they hear.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Yo.
That's true.
Not to go too far left again, because you know how we do. So my oldest daughter... put her on the bed, in the middle of the bed, king-size bed. Mm-hmm. I went maybe 20 feet to the bathroom to brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, I had the morning breath. Mm-hmm. I'm brushing. I look to the side. She's still there. Mm-hmm. Spitting out the joints, pause. Mm-hmm. Rinse my mouth out. I look back. She's on the way off the bed.
That fast.
I got her, like, I bundled her to where she shouldn't mm-hmm. have been able to go nowhere. She, right. you know, I got mm-hmm. her, like, burrito swaddle style.
Yeah. You had the pillows on the side,
fam.
Too? She rolled over the pillows?
Yes.
What the hell? Your child's an off-road child.
Man.
She's an off-road baby.
Fuck wild. Man, I took off, and I dove over the bed and caught her, like, right off the, like, when she was on the edge. Mm. Man, I landed upside down, had cuts and bruises from the dresser. Mm. She laughed at me.
Yeah, they'll do that.
I still to this day be like, yeah, okay. You still, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't as fortunate. My child definitely fell behind the headboard.
Like, damn.
You know the deep ones? No. The deep ones with the shelving and stuff? She was in between, like, underneath. So I literally had to pull the whole bed out.
Oh, no.
To get my baby on the other side. She was only a few months old.
That's why she laughing at you now, man. She's paying you back.
I don't know. Like, she's definitely fallen off the bed twice. Not on my watch, though, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
But, like, I was in the house, but that wasn't my turn to watch.
Right.
But, that one time she slid down into the... I was like, how in the hell this child get back there?
I feel like only daughters can do that too. Like a son would have just fell and boom.
Maybe, I don't know. Like,
boy.
I'm like, where is she at? She behind the bed. I'm like, behind the bed? I'm pulling the mattress and there she is. Like, I was like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah? You supposed to be watching my child. You have my child all the way under the damn thing like this.
Oh, wow.
All under the furniture.
Classic.
That reminds me of the time that Tyler and we lived in the townhouse. And... she wouldn't go down the stairs. Like, she was just a born cautious kid. So she wasn't trying to go down the stairs by herself, right? So we didn't have a baby gate and stuff, and the stairs was really weird. So anyway, she was finally sleeping in her bed, and we always kept our door open. So if she came out of her bed, she would come jump in the bed with us, right? Mm-hmm. So I wake up one morning. I was like, huh, she must have slept in her bed all night. She ain't here. Okay. So I go across the hall to go in her room. Baby girl ain't in the bed. I'm panicking.
Right.
Right? Because I'm like, where am my baby at, right? So I went back in the room. I must have missed her. You know, like, I must have missed her. Maybe Joe rolled on top of her or something. Like, she got to be in this room. Don't see her. Right?
Yeah, that snort, though. Did we get that on? Did we record the snort? Did y'all hear the snort?
I have picture evidence of this, too. So now I'm like, got the cell phone in hand, getting ready to call 911 because I'm panicking. Run downstairs because I'm thinking there's no way she's downstairs. I run downstairs and she had this little play area. And it was like her little play kitchen and this little toy piano. She is laid on the floor with a cup in her hand, like she drunk too much and passed the hell out. When I tell you I was 38 high, because I'm like, so let me get this straight. She went down, she got out of her bed. Went down the stairs, went in the refrigerator, got a cup, got turned up, and then fell asleep on the floor, laid out like this. Well, I was like, are you serious?
I can see that, though. I don't know why I could picture
that. Now it makes perfect sense because, you know, that's definitely my child. But man, when I tell you I was panicking.
Yeah, that literally makes sense. Like, knowing Shorty how I know it, like, I can see that. She's probably in, like, a wild position, too, but it's so comfortable.
Wait, I got to find a picture. I know it's on Facebook, because I was like, yo, this child just had me about lose my entire life. I did have a question before we wrap up. Mr. KB, have you had any interesting experiences with your kid and other women you've dated, or another woman that you've dated with her kids? Like, how does those interactions work with you? Or are there any stories that you're willing to share about
those? There has been maybe a handful of times, if any, where my daughter interacted with the other person's kid. The first time that ever happened, it was the first person I was dating after my kid's mother. She had a daughter who was probably not even one yet, or just one. And my daughter was like maybe 2 years old, going on three. So, you know, there was that. And then there was another time I was dating a woman with two kids. They were both, one was older, one was younger. She interacted with them maybe once or twice. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for all of us to kind of get together. And then as far as the one who I was dating that didn't have any kids, surprisingly enough and thankfully enough, this was the one where she really showed her what it is like to be an independent woman. Because unfortunately at the time I didn't have, you know, my sister was kind of away, you know, doing her own thing. My mother was in Trinidad, doing her own thing. I didn't really have too many female positive role models representation around her. So when I started dating this woman, you know, that's when she started seeing the 2-bedroom condo with the loft and the you know, the luxury vehicle and, you know, all of this other stuff. And she was like, "Oh, you got this all by yourself?" She was like, "Yeah. Can do that too."
That's dope.
And I mean, she really took to her. Like, you know, she was paying for like summer camp and taking her clothes shopping and
that's dope.
And all that stuff. So to this day, I thank her for that because I was not sure what direction she would go when the only examples and not good examples was on the other side.
I can relate to that. I've been on the giving end with a girl. Actually, she was like a year and a week younger than my daughter. And everyone always thought she was my kid, my ex's kid. And if I did for my daughter, I did for her. And I didn't feel like, not to say her mother was terrible, because I'm not going to trash her mother. I just think, you know how some people just have so much going on. They're not like, they're here, but they're not here.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like that's how her mother was.
And everybody don't sacrifice.
Right, which I now understand because, you know, her ex was a narcissistic, abusive asshole. So, takes a minute.
She had traumas.
Yeah, she had traumas. Yeah.
That's real different, especially with black women. That's very different. Yeah. Not to separate it, but, you know, it's still different.
Yeah, so I miss that kid every so often, though. Yeah. But have you had any interactions with any... Well, let me backtrack. How has it been dating women with children and getting to know, like, they're figuring out what that looks like for you, knowing that you understand what it's like being that, you know, being that single parent?
It's different with each one. Because, I mean, every woman is different and every child is different. So in some cases, and I mean, depending on the age too, you know, in some cases, the child's too young to kind of really have a bond. Like, they're babies. So, like, babies ain't worried about nothing. They're just touching and observing everything, right? But then when you start getting into adolescent age and stuff like that, where you can have conversations with them, I think one of this young woman I was, well, she's not young anymore. We're not young anymore. But this woman I was dating in Newark, she had two kids. Her son, I think, was like maybe 10 or 11 years old at the time, and her daughter was about 7. And I had a really, really good relationship with both of them kids. Like, really, really good. I would have thought at first, I had the thought that they might have been reserved, but they opened up to me quite easily. Mm-hmm. I'm typically good with kids, you know, jokes and stuff like that. I like to joke and laugh and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I built a really close relationship with both of them, like with the son, you know, we would talk games and comics and stuff like that because I'm into that. And then with the daughter, like, I would help her, like, you know, she want to play house or whatever, I'd do that type of stuff with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like, I'd ask her, like, what does she want to do, like, right now to see, like, what direction she might want to go in, you know, in the future as far as, like, maybe a career and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The saddest part about that is that when the relationship ended, like, that relationship ended.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that again. Because I really started getting close to those kids. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, she wasn't really getting close to mine.
Mm.
So I, looking back at that, I don't know how well that would have worked.
Yeah, because that was kind of one-sided.
Right.
Sounded like.
Now, I'm not the type of person to force either party to click. Because I understand that everybody different.
Gotcha.
So, because I've definitely been in relationships where the kid kind of, not say standoffish, but like they're not eager to interact with me, especially if they know their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they know their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had time with their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, who are you? You trying to replace my dad? You're not my dad. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I never thought that I would hear that because I thought I was only on TV, but no, that's real life. I've heard that. Said that's been said to me.
I said that one time to my bonus daddy, and I cried for days afterwards. Like, I am so sorry. I didn't mean it. It was hormones. I'm sorry.
My daughter said that once to my ex-wife. Neck roll and everything.
Not with a neck roll.
Oh, yeah, she got. We played tag that day. she was it.
I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna be disrespectful.
I am sure.
Because yes, it's true. Right. I am not your father, but you will respect me. You will show some respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna call me by my first name because we're not the same age.
Right.
Right? Again, I'm old school like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that those type of boundaries have to be set. And I feel like as adults, we really have to set a good example for these kids if we expect them to become good adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not stop all that do as I say, not as I do bullshit.
Right.
Like, you have to physically show that example for them to understand why it is important to do that.
One of the most important things that I have discussions with other, whether it's the children or whether it's other parents, children do as they see, not as they're told.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely crucial for us to remember as parents, like, have to show them what it means to be respectful, appreciated, valued, and it doesn't necessarily look the same in every avenue. One of the things that you did that I'm earning more respect for you as we go. One of the things you said that it really grinds my gears on social media, how everybody places people in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You just literally said every woman is an individual. Mm-hmm. That's one. And then two, you dated a woman with two kids. And in today's climate, it's like, hell nah.
Right.
Two, nah. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. That's what I'm saying, fam. You, like, your level of patience and like your how you observe things and stuff. Like, I picked that up about you really quick. Mm. Like, you read stuff extremely fast. You know what I mean? And, you know, as like from man to man, like, I truly admire that and that you're able to navigate yourself accordingly within those avenues, because that's difficult.
Yeah, thank you, man. That's something that I really put a lot of focus in, because I understand, again, that everybody's not the same. You know when I learned to do that, actually? When I came to this country, right, I was living in a town called Somerville, New Jersey. Fuck you, Somerville. Anyway.
I know where that's at. That's why it's funny.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
This town was the town where I learned about racism and segregation and stuff like that, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I could have easily become one of those people that was like, oh, I hate this group of people and I hate this group of people because of how I was treated in that town, right?
Yeah.
But then to realize that everybody ain't like that.
Yeah.
Right? Even if it's 60 people I dealt with that are like that are the same person or similar person,
mm-hmm.
that don't mean that the next 60 gonna be like that.
Right.
And the last thing I would want is for somebody to see one black dude do something and think all black dudes do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? So because of that, I keep that in mind with anything and everything. So when it comes to a woman with children, I have to also understand that this child's way of thinking, how they perceive things, how they feel about you, all of those things have to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm dating somebody and their child don't want to interact with me for whatever reason, it's not my responsibility to force that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not. Because again, I have to respect that child's boundaries just as much as that child has to respect mine.
Right. That's true.
They are an individual at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I had one woman telling me that I wasn't doing enough, it was like, well, first of all, you be hogging all the damn time. That's the first thing. The time that I am physically here, you be hogging it.
Yo.
So why don't you give up some of your time then? Right?
You're laughing because that's the thing, for real. Like,
you understand?
No comment.
And the second thing is if your child don't feel comfortable being around me for whatever reason, mm-hmm. because nobody needs a reason to feel any way about you.
Right.
Nobody needs a reason. So if that's how your child feels, give her the time to warm up or to figure out who it is. It's not like I'm never going to interact with this girl. If I come in the room and she's standing right next to you, I'm going to acknowledge you and her.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's how you're supposed to move. That's just the right thing to do. So I'm going to say, hey, how you doing, young lady? How was your day? So on and so forth. Now, if she answers me short and walk away, then that's her.
Right.
Right? She's either nervous or she don't like me for whatever reason. And listen, I am not the type of person to make everybody like me. Sorry. I'm not that person.
I love that. You support the individuality.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have feelings too, damn it. Like, I have feelings too. So, look, I'm only going to take but so much cold shoulder from you before I just be like, hey, listen, this ain't... She's not gonna feel me now. She probably won't feel me in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will change. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But as of right now, don't force this.
Chill.
Right.
Chill. Don't force that.
I have one more question, and then we probably got to wrap.
Yeah.
We pushing it.
We are.
And this has nothing to do with the subject whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never thought to ask this question before. Mm. With you coming from somewhere else to here, does everyone else have an accent, or are you the one with the accent?
No, some people lose it. Some people definitely come here and lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. My sister, she came up here when I came up here, I was like 11, my sister was 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so naturally she loses it, but she could talk it though, because she lived in the household.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And of course we had family come up and stuff like that. But there's plenty of people. I've had cousins that lived in Trinidad longer than me that come up here and completely lose their accent.
Wow.
Completely lose it. Completely.
That's crazy.
For me though, because again, living in Somerville, fuck you Somerville, that was something I wasn't trying to let go. Uh-huh. I tried to fit in with different people and you know, be like them, and I was still getting rejected. So after a while I was like, I'm not trying to be like anybody. I'm going to be me, and you're going to respect me, period. And I didn't feel the need to change how I talk. I had to articulate a little bit better. Like, this is not normally how I talk.
Yeah.
I talk a lot rougher than this, being from the south side of Trinidad.
I know the speed.
How do you normally talk?
Because it's not even so much you talking.
It ain't even so much speed, because I have some family members that talk slow and slur.
Word.
You understand?
Oh.
But it's for me, because I know... Like, I had to learn the slang, because the way Americans talk compared to what I grew up watching on TV, 18, Knight Rider, all that stuff, is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have accents and all this other stuff. So it's like, oh, I got to learn this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they put me in, what's that called, SSL or whatever, where, you know, the child can't speak English language, so they threw them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I couldn't speak English, they just couldn't understand me.
Gotcha.
So I had to learn to articulate words in a way that people could understand.
Mm.
And then once I got nice with that, it was on and popping after that. You know what I mean?
Okay. Because I only ask because I think it's important sometimes. I think that we're ignorant. Some, you know, often, you know, we look at everybody like, well, they're here now. They need to learn. And I'm like, nah, man. Like, sometimes, you know, like, come on.
I understand learning the language. I get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
And sometimes people just don't listen.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Yeah. Most of my family, like, you know, part of my family's from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, listen.
Yeah.
You know, they be, man, their accent is so thick. You know, like, no, man, first of all, you know, it's not an accent, my G.
Right.
You know, it's a dialogue, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they speak a little fast, but right. You have to listen. And if you just take your time and listen instead of trying to go, their voice is sexy. Or, you know, it's like, no, listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, don't try and take every word that they say and try to attach it to an English word, mm-hmm. because it's not going to work for you. As long as you can get the gist of what they're saying, you straight. Because that's another misconception. People think that every Caribbean island understands every other Caribbean person. That is not true.
Really?
Jamaicans be feeling like they don't understand people from Trinidad or people from Barbados. And people from Barbados feel like they don't understand Jamaica. And people from Trinidad feel the same way. And forget about Haiti. Like, everybody don't necessarily understand everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, at the end of the day, if you can get the gist of it, you're good. Yeah?
I love it.
It's a new education. I love it. All right. Well, that was amazing. Way over the time we expected, but it was such a great conversation. No. It was such a great conversation. You know, we like to flow around here. You can't stop a great conversation because we don't have these enough. And this is one of the many reasons we created Let Me Holla At You. So
I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
We appreciate you spending some time with us. Can you let us know where they can find you?
Instagram, KB_the_producer. I believe it's the same on TikTok. I don't know. also, Uncovered on Instagram. Uncovered_music. And also uncoveredmusic.net for episodes and more stuff.
Gotcha. Awesome. Now, so I'm asking everyone that we ask in these conversations with Dating After 30, you on the market, off the market, before they flood your inbox?
Shoot. I'm off. Okay. Proudly off.
Okay, proudly off. Wait, let me see if I get the applause right. Hold on.
Did she get it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, we so enjoyed you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Thank you all so much for listening to this dope conversation of Let Me Holla At You. It's been real. This is your girl, Ty Wonder. I got Mr. Booker Snow and Mr. KB, the producer.
Yeah.
You know what?
Priceless. He's such a perfect guy. Hey, this the perfect first guest. Absolutely perfect first guest, man. Like, this couldn't have been planned. Like, I don't.
Couldn't have been. Okay, let me try to get my bearings together. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, we'll holla at you. Thank you so much for listening to Let Me Holla At You. To connect with us on social media, you can find Mr. Snow at I Am Your Love Letter on Instagram. And you can connect with me at I Am Ty Wonder on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. Until next time, we'll holla at you. That was crazy.